Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere, but especially on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And remember to rate all of our shows 5 stars with a positive comment. When you do it for one show, you do it for all of them. So you're giving love not just to Lolly Carter, but you're also doing it for Steelers Daily, DK's Daily Shots, the 66 to 87 podcast, the Pirates podcast to be named later, all the shows on this network. It's a big help when anyone does this. Dale, first of all, training camp is underway. As we record this, you have now seen, I think, 4 full practices of training camp.
Make it five.
I'm miscount. You see five full practices from Steelers training camp. They just got done with the first practice at Heinz Field on this Tuesday, and it looks like the pads are going on. How does it feel to be back into the full swing of things, man? The season's going, and you know we're about to see pads get on these guys finally.
Yeah, until they put the pads on, it doesn't really seem like training camp. Mm. It's been an extension of OTAs. I'm not a big fan of what the Players Association has done here. Essentially, what you're going to have is, for the Steelers in particular, they're going to put the pads on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, off Sunday. They'll be back Monday and Tuesday. Off Wednesday. So you're basically going to get like 5-6 practices in pads before you play your first preseason game.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, I'm sure Kevin Colbert would back me up. I asked Mike Tomlin about it the other day, and I'm sure Kevin Colbert would back me up on this one. But, you know, I said, can you get ready for playing football in pads without wearing pads? I think there's something to that. Now we'll see them get physical. On Wednesday, we'll see, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're off Sunday. I would assume that will be it mm-hmm. for live tackling and those kind of things, because they got to get ready to go play a football game. So, you know, I don't know that 4 days in pads is going to be enough to kind of get some guys' bodies conditioned for hitting and what they're going to see in these preseason games. I don't know this for certain. You know, I know that Kevin Colbert believes, as I mentioned, that, mm-hmm. you know, the only way that you prepare for hitting is to hit.
Yeah.
Get your body conditioned to it. So we'll see if this makes a difference. I don't know, but I just think that, you know, I don't see what the problem would have been putting on the pads. Mike Tomlin, you know, you had a 2-day heat acclimation period and then you went into pads.
Mm-hmm.
Is that big of a deal? I don't know. I mean, you got guys trying to make a football team out there.
Right.
Can you make a football team if the coaches don't see you hit all that much?
It's a big question. And Dale, I mean, this is something that's always been talked about. I was talking to Ike Taylor last year about this, and he talked about how there's being in shape and being in football shape. Being in shape means like you're well conditioned, you got everything going. You're as an athlete, you're fine. But getting in football shape means you're ready to take the hits. You're ready to take the hard pressure that you got to put on different parts of your body to physically go up against someone and knock them to the ground or beat them to the spot, move them out of the way, and stop them from doing that to you. That's a whole nother level of physical preparation. As you're saying, you know, you got to hit to be in shape to hit. You know, that's just an experience your body has to adjust to. That was a big reason why when the Steelers of the 70s, their training camps were ridiculously long, but you practice, and by the time you got to the season, it's like your body was conditioned to be hit almost every day. So does there need to be safety taken into account? Absolutely. Does there need to be, you know, a cap at some point? Sure. But maybe that is a big question. And I think one of the biggest questions it is for is the offensive line, Dale. You wrote a piece, that was at the top of the website from Tuesday morning about Kevin Colbert talking about this offensive line. And this is a group, but this is a group that especially needs to get used to hitting and fast, because that's going to be the main job that they have. And this is not a group that's played together for 5 years like we've been used to seeing with a lot of the Steelers' offensive lines in the past decade.
Yeah. And you know, they've talked all offseason about wanting to establish a physical mentality. Well, okay, where are you establishing that when you're not in pads? We haven't seen any one-on-one drills. We haven't seen any pass rush drills. We haven't seen any of the stuff that you want to see here. I'm interested to see what's Najee Harris going to look like in pads. What's, mm-hmm. What are some of these new guys going to look like? What's Kendrick Green going to look like running around in pads? you watch these guys on film, you'd like to see it in person. You'd like to see them start to establish something here. But I think the NFLPA is really shooting itself in the foot with this one, because, you know, that's what, you're not at training camp all that long to prepare for a 17 game season. I get it. You don't want to beat your body up, but coaches aren't going to beat their guys up to get
right, going. They want you fresh.
You're going to be fresh. The guys who are going to be playing most of those 17 games, they're not going to beat up all that much.
No.
You know, a couple of padded practices extra in August or late July in this case, you know, you're going to get some time off here before the season starts. They got a 12-day stretch before the season even starts this year because of that. So I don't know. I just think that, you know, it's – you know, when you're trying to build something here like the Steelers are with that offensive line, I don't know that it's conducive to doing that. We'll see. We haven't seen that entire offensive line on the field together yet. You know, we're as I said, I've seen five practices now. Now they're extensions of the OTAs,
right?
But there's still five practices. You know, we've seen Trey Turner out there. We've seen Kendrick Green out there a lot. Haven't seen much Zach Banner. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Chukwuma Okorafor. Haven't seen Kevin Dotson really on the field. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a work in progress for the Steelers. There's no doubt about that. You know, I do know that Kevin Colbert said that they feel good about what they have on the offensive line. And, you know, the starting unit isn't, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, that's, there's some promise there, but it's not established by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they have to establish something going into this season. There's got to be a sense of, hey, we can trust this offensive line to do A or to do B. You know, you got to have a plan of it. You got to be knowing like, hey, there's going to be certain run plays that we know if we call that, these guys are going to feel it. They're going to know, they're going to be able, we know that, you know, Kendrick Green is going to work with, you know, Trey Turner, Kevin Dotson to chip this guy at the line of scrimmage and then to get to the next backer and to set up this lane for Najee Harris. Those are things that come with time, with practice and with figuring out how it actually works out. Cause again, you know, Adrian Klemm talked about this in minicamp. You know, there's guys that look great when the shorts are on. Their footwork looks nice and awesome. But as soon as you got a hit, as soon as you know someone's across you and you got to protect yourself and you got to attack them, that stuff can go away really fast. And it happens all the time. It's like Mike Tyson to say, everyone's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. You know, it's there is a serious element to physicality that you need to play out with physicality. I do wonder with this offensive line how that's going to work out. Because again, like we've said, they've got new bodies. Chukwuma Okorafor, like we're not even seeing these guys that much yet, but Chukwuma Okorafor moving to a new position. He didn't do left tackle last year. Kevin Dotson started four games last year. Kendrick Green's a rookie. Trey Turner on a new team. Zach Banner played a game before getting hurt for the entire season last year. This group needs to figure out what it's like to play to each other or play with each other. Because when you're talking about offensive line work, oftentimes the best offensive line, they're synchronized. When they're doing a run to an off tackle run to the right and they need to reach with their right foot to the right and slide with the left and move their feet, you got to do that at the same time the same way, hit their guys at the same moments. Those are the things that you're working on in training camp to make sure that you are timed. But if you're not able to hit, it's tough to do. You know, you can do the walkthroughs, you can do, you know, quarter eagle drills when you're, you know, when you're just practicing those steps and everything, but if you're not hitting, it's going to be a different experience when you do. And if you only get four or five practices, you know, before your first preseason game, you got to figure that out really fast. And I understand the professionals, Dales, but that seems like a really tall task to figure all of that out.
Yeah. And I don't know how much some of these guys are going to play in the first preseason game. Obviously Mike Tomlin has said Kendrick Green is going to play. Maybe Dotson and Okorafor and Banner aren't going to play at all in the first preseason game.
Maybe.
But you know, it would be nice to see this group together on the field. They have to start working on this. You know, they've got a little over a month to get ready for the first game. You know, it's about 5 weeks now. At some point you want to see that start to take shape.
Right. You need to see that to take shape. And again, not just for Najee Harris in the run game, but also for Ben Roethlisberger in the pass protection. You know, that's another element, is the communication of, hey, when we see this defensive front, we got to communicate to make sure that a blitzer doesn't sneak through A gap or B gap because one of us was napping. And that's something that with Marquise Pouncey for years, him and Ben could just think at the same time and just be like, okay, we see this, bang, bang, boom. You know, call out a signal. We got it. We're picking up the inside twist blitz, or we're picking up this stunt that's coming our way, or there's an extra pass rusher coming from this part of the field. We're prepared for that. And we're telling all of the offensive linemen the right things at the right time. That is going to be a serious challenge for this line. And again, you know, you can run the reps like they do before, like the main practices where you got like everyone's got the beanies on their head and they're identifying certain things. But if you're not doing this in live action and preparing what it's like to snap the ball, you know, stay low in your stance, but come up, get your feet moving and take on a guy who's trying to beat you to a spot and crush your quarterback. If you're not doing that, it's going to be an interesting adjustment when you're doing it against someone who's actually trying to hurt your quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, so that's going to be a big part of this. You know, maybe they can replicate that in practice. Maybe I'm just missing the whole boat here. But, you know, that's something that the line always talked about before, all those guys. Well, we have great continuity. Well, you don't have great continuity now. Let's see if it matters.
We'll see if it matters very soon. The pads go on Wednesday at Steelers training camp, where Dale and the whole crew, Eddie and DK, are at the stadium live giving you all the updates there. So we're going to take a quick break here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly. Be right back. I want to talk about one of the biggest players on the team and his situation as it stands heading into training camp right after this. Back here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. We're breaking it down as the Steelers are 5 training camp practices in. Now, you're listening to this on Wednesday, which means by the time you're probably listening to this, we're at the everyone's at the field and you're getting ready for things at Heinz Field. But you know, the Steelers will be welcoming fans back into the stadium, because it's a free attendance to practice, but you got to sign up ahead of time and get your tickets and everything. The Steelers will have their pads on, ready to hit for the first time since they played the playoff game against the Browns. We talked about how that's going to impact the team, in the last segment, but I want to talk about how one of the biggest players on the team, and maybe the best player on the team, TJ Watt, is his situation right now. Now, Dale, when he stepped up to talk to you guys in the Steelers media, he was asked, it seemed like, several different ways. Hey, what's your contract situation? Hey, do you know anything about, can you say anything about the contract situation? And he was like, nope, not my business. Yeah, that's not me for me to say. Locked it up. Zoop. Nope, won't talk a thing about it. Neither would Kevin Colbert. But and that's how it's supposed to work. The Steelers, they don't put notes out there for when they're trying to establish a contract, a long time contract, to keep their best player and a guy who's one of the best players in all of the NFL. That's how you're supposed to do it. You do it behind closed doors, and when it's ready, you announce to the world, and everyone doesn't know all the things that happened in between those times. But in all seriousness, Dale, the money that TJ Watt is probably going to earn is going to be huge. And a lot of people are expecting it to reset the edge rusher market, especially after like Myles Garrett got a huge deal where he's basically making $25 million a year. What is your expectation for how TJ Watt and this is going to work out? Because some people are out there saying this might be more difficult because the Steelers, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, the Steelers got money next year. They got money that they can line up to pay this guy. I still see this happening, and I do think TJ Watt will make a big payday.
Well, I don't think he's going to, quote unquote, reset the edge rusher market, because Joey Bosa is averaging $27.5 million a year.
Right.
He's not getting that. That's ridiculous.
You don't think he's getting $27.5 million a year?
Not $27.5 million a year. The top linebackers, the top outside linebacker is Khalil Mack. His contract is $23.5 million. Now, if you want to look at it that way and say, okay, he's going to reset the outside linebacker market and get 25. Okay, I'll buy that, but I don't think they're going to go to $27.5 million average per year. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I think that's going to be what, you know, Watt's agent is going to shoot for, mm-hmm. and maybe you meet in the middle somewhere. But you know, I just think that this is a deal that's going to get done. I wrote about it prior to the start of training camp. You know what the market looks like for this. There are some ways that they can structure this where it doesn't affect their cap here the first few years of this. You know, you look at like a DeMarcus Lawrence contract or some of those other ones that, you know, you get them done in the first couple of years. It's, you know, it's a $10 million, $11 million, you know, that he counts against the cap. So it's going to be interesting how that's all worded. I think they're going to want to continue to keep some of that financial flexibility that they have going into next year. They're going to have, you know, there's a good chance they're going to have to go out and maybe find a quarterback.
Yeah.
You want to have the ability to do that. If somebody becomes available via trade and to do that, you're going to need, you know, cap space available. So, you know, it's all done with an eye on the future for the Steelers. And that's the big thing. They'll look at it, how it affects this year's cap and how it affects the future caps on down the road. So, you know, the idea is that the cap is going to start going back up again extensively, you know, pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go 210, 220, somewhere in that range. It's going to take a big jump after this season, but we'll see. I mean, I think there's just so much out there that because of the COVID situation and, hey, we don't know what's going to be in store for us this year, as we found out last year. You know, maybe teams aren't as willing to spend some of that big money as they would have been, you know, a couple of years ago.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see how that works out. And who knows, Dale, maybe they can just slap 10 void years on his contract and then only end up paying him $2 million a year. Just the void maybe. Years. Yeah. The void years thing is just hilarious to me. It's like, yeah, 5 void years and they just spread out the money. And hey, it's a smart rule for the NFL to give teams more flexibility to keep the players that they want to keep. But that is just, I always laugh when I see see void years come into play. I mean, look at Melvin Ingram's contract. I mean, it's not going to, you know, impact the Steelers too much. They still got a bunch of salary cap space for if they want to make a move sometime this year, they can. If not, they like you've mentioned before on this podcast, they can roll that over. But TJ Watt, if he gets around that range, say he gets $23, $25 million a year. And say, even if he does get $27 million a year, the Steelers have the salary cap space next year to be able to pay him, pay Minka, and still figure some things out on their team. And those are the things that they'll do, because the Steelers, in your time covering the Steelers, Dale, there are very few homegrown superstars that they've developed that have gotten away. You know, the one that'll jump up to the top of my mind is Rod Woodson. You know, that's one that everyone will think about, but that is the rare occurrence of when a player who was drafted in Pittsburgh became a star in Pittsburgh and was a huge part of, you know, a group like TJ Watt to the resurfacing of this defense to being one of the best in the NFL. You don't see this organization let those guys go in their prime, in that situation. And I just have to think they're going to find a way that's going to be a resolution where, like you said, they're looking to the future. They want this next version, the next version of the team, whoever they get at quarterback. You know, it's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to need to make sure that this defense is still, or this team is still defense oriented, so that it can be a playmaking defense, and that quarterback can get used to just being in a new offense. And TJ Watt is an absolute part of that. So I have to think that this is going to happen, and probably happen soon.
Yeah, I don't know about how soon, but it's certainly, if they're going to get it done, it's going to get done before the end of training camp, before right. the regular season starts. Because as Kevin Colbert said Tuesday,
they're not going to
negotiate during the season. He doesn't see them changing that rule. It's a hard, fast rule. I understand why it's in place. I was there in '93. You know, when guys like Adrian Cooper talked about how the contract negotiations that were ongoing with some other guys during the season were distracting for them, and they didn't feel like they could put everything that they had into that season because, well, I was worried about my contract. Okay, well, then we won't negotiate with anybody during the season.
Right.
You know, if you negotiate with nobody, then nobody can get upset that they don't have a contract, because that's a hard, fast rule that you live by. That's why they do it. You know, again, I was there when Adrian Cooper said that, and I'm like looking at him, I'm like, dude, you're getting paid at that, I don't know, it was like $200,000 or whatever at the time. Remember, this is 1993.
Yeah, different NFL.
You're getting paid 200 grand and you're worried about next year's contract. Why didn't you worry about this year's contract and how you were going to play? If you'd have played better, maybe you'd gotten a bigger contract. So, you know, you can't worry about those kind of things, but some guys do.
And listen, you know, I get it. You know, guys are stacking their paper. They want to make sure that, you know, in the few years that they're going to play in the NFL, that they're getting paid to do it. I understand that. But the Steelers have proven time and time again to be an organization where if you're delivering, they're paying. You know, unless they're stacked, like, you know, and there's sometimes that they can't afford to keep a guy because they're stacked at a certain position. Like, you know, like when Mike Wallace was doing a great job for them, but Mike Wallace wanted, you know, what Mike Wallace got from Miami, and the Steelers were like, well, we're not giving that to you. You know, we got Antonio Brown over here, and you know, but you see, even when Antonio Brown was in Pittsburgh before he forced his way out of town, he was being paid the way that he felt he should have been. He was getting paid top dollar across the NFL. You know, the Steelers, they try to do right by their guys, and you see it reciprocate. I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger. This guy has been taken care of for years, and I continue to look at it. You know, even beyond just the paying part, they continued to get him the weapons that he wanted. You know, he wanted playmaker wide receivers, he got him. He wanted a top offensive line, he got it. He wanted a playmaker running back, he got it. You know that. You know, he wanted Heath Miller here for a long time, he got that too. They continue to give him what he wanted, and you see at the end of his career where he's like, "Hey, I'll kick some money back to the organization for the salary cap and work with you guys to make sure that we can make this team competitive and keep this team competitive, because I don't want to see this team fall apart. I don't want to see, you know, everyone go down because I'm making the most a ton of money against the salary cap and putting you guys in a rough spot." You know, and you know, it's crazy, but you know, you look into Green Bay and you see what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and where that's a different situation. They did pay him. There's obvious that there's something missing there in the from that organization to Aaron Rodgers having the same kind of relationship that Ben Roethlisberger does to the Steelers. And I think TJ Watt could end up being the same way, where, you know, if the Steelers work out a deal like this and he continues to be the playmaker that he has been, they will continue to take care of him. And then maybe at the end of his time in Pittsburgh, if he's hanging around, now granted, he's not going to last anywhere near long as Roethlisberger because he's a quarterback and that's an edge rusher. Those are two different things, but you get him around, he can be a guy who, you know, is the locker room dude who everyone looks to and says, that's the guy that runs this show. And I think stuff like that goes a long way to establishing culture and making sure that, you know, the best players are being looked at and given the kind of respect, and also, you know, setting the tone for that respect in your locker room. And that goes a long way to building your team.
Yeah. I mean, you can't upset the apple cart. I think you pay the guys, you know, the guys in that locker room, though, who deserves to be paid. They always do.
Right.
And there's always a pecking order, and, you know, TJ, what's up next? That's how this works.
Absolutely. Dale, as always, it's great to do this show with you, the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Stay tuned with us as a podcast network, as a website. There's a ton of great stuff coming out during Steelers training camp. You can check all of it out at DKPittsburghSports.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast anywhere, but especially on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You want to listen to these shows. They are great. And if you're enjoying these shows, leave us 5-star ratings, leave us positive reviews with comments alongside. All that stuff really helps out the network. And again, all the shows, the network that we do here. From Chris Carter and Dale Lolly, thanks for listening to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. Be back in your ears very soon with more on your Pittsburgh Steelers.